say I don't agree with the part about me being horny all hours of the day. It's a few hours in the day, yes, but not all hours of the day. I digress.
NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Thursday, March 14. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every single day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so busy day of NBA action. We had a huge win in OKC. We had a massive, awesome Houston Golden State showdown. And we also had the Harry Potter Bowl. Nice one. So we're going to cover that with all the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. There's the usual yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, an Outback Takehouse where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've got a new Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot, Light 'Em Up Award. We visit Kiwi Corner to check on the Kiwi Colossus Stephen Adams. Plus, we close out with a new Diary of Stephen Adams. Noice. And we're going to look at all the odds and a pick and preview for every single game tomorrow. Unreal. All right, let's just get stuck in, shall we? Yes, it's NBA Australia episode 245. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Wah! You better. You better watch out for the attack of, what? The old James Harden step back three? Or Boogie Cousins? Or Rusty Westbrook coming out of nowhere and crushing it? Love it. All right, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Stray with a daily flip around some news. Isaiah Thomas. We mentioned this on yesterday's show. Isaiah Thomas didn't play in the Denver win over the Timberwolves yesterday. And we're like, that seems a bit odd. And it already turns out that Mike Malone, there, the coach in Denver, said after the game that he's trying to settle in on a eight-player rotation, and one would expect that Isaiah Thomas is not in that eight players. Oh, jeez. This sucks. The little guy. He's just not good, though. I think we mentioned this last week a couple of times where he's just, like, coming off the bench and just fucking gunning at the entire expense of, like, the rest of Denver. And the bench and all the other players just like, oh, this fucking guy, man. And it had thrown everybody else off their bench. Monty Morris started playing like shit. They dropped a couple of games. Mike Malone's obviously going, all right, fuck this. I'm nipping it in the bud. IT, sorry, pal. What are you going to do? Fight me? You're fucking 5 foot, mate. Settle down. Yeah, it's a tough one. Anyway, love me some little guy. It'd just be nice if he played a little bit more efficiently off the bench. Yeah, tough one. Other news, the Rockets have signed Daryl Morey, their general manager, to a 5-year extension, which is pretty neat. I mean, there were, you know, the odd sort of rumblings that Philly were trying to sign him last offseason and stuff like that. So it seems like a very smart move by the Houston Rockets. He is very, very good, seemingly. Draymond Green has signed with LeBron James' agency, Clutch. Awesome. Now I'm looking forward to the Draymond trade demand. I need to be a bigger star. I want to go to LA to play with LeBron. Nice. Klay Thompson apologized to Warriors fans after he threw them under the bus after they lost to Phoenix, where he was like, oh yeah, it'd be nice if our fucking fans showed up and actually supported us a little bit louder. And everyone's like, Klay, the fuck are you talking about, you idiot? Jesus. He said, I expect our crowd to be a little bit more into it. Like, I know it's not the playoffs, but it is our last go around at Oracle. At least you can stand up or something when we make a good play. Especially in the beginning, we need that energy. Especially this time of year. It's hard to conjure up energy every single night because you're looking forward to the playoffs and that run. Klay, you're literally being paid millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to play fucking basketball, mate. If you can't get motivated day in, day out, maybe basketball's not for you. It's not beholden upon the fucking fans to make you motivated to do your fucking job. Anyway, Clay then tweeted out, I love Dub Nation. We have the greatest fan base in sports. We feed greatly off their energy in Oregon, and I meant no disrespect. Hashtag time to go to work. Hashtag Road Warriors. Really, Clay? Really?
Stay off the weed.
Yeah, that's about right. Final news, Dennis Rodman broke a little bit of news talking about Phil Jackson. And Phil Jackson asked Rodman to apologize to Scottie Pippen for the 1991 playoff series between the Bulls and Pistons before signing his Bulls contract. That is unreal. He said, hey, could you go over there and tell Scottie you're sorry? And so Dennis Rodman had to apologize to Scottie Pippen before he became a Chicago Bull. That is unreal. Other injury news. Kevin Durant was out today with the ankle that he rolled against the Phoenix Suns. And that was about it. There was nothing else crazy big that popped up. So, nice one. Right, let's get into the rap, shall we? Love it. Oh, yeah, there was also the weird Jazz fan starting like a GoFundMe for $25,000, which was the amount that Rusty Westbrook got fined. Because they're going to donate that to a human rights campaign, which is nice. It's just the Utah fans going, we're not all racist fuckwits. And everyone's like, oh, look, we're pretty sure most of you are, though. That's nice. All right, let's do it. The wraps for today. We had six games. We had mentioned at the top the Harry Potter Bowl, and that is the Orlando Magic taking on the Washington Wizards.
10 points for Gryffindor.
Washington win 100-90. Magic, they're definitely like a fucking Hufflepuff fucking franchise, aren't they? Where everyone goes, who? Oh, those fucking dorks. Nice. The Magic Vooch had 20 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists. Johnny Isaac. Oh, Stretch Armstrong over there. 13 points, 9 rebounds. DJ Augustine had 16 points and 7 assists. And the rest of the team was shit. Eric Gordon. That's right. Aaron Gordon, 4 of 13 for his 13 points. Jesus. And T-Ross was gross as well, 3 of 13. Yeah, they might pop up a little bit later. For the Wizards, Bradley Beal had 23 points. He was pretty good. Thomas Kobe Bryant, he had 21. We'll talk about him later, 21 and 10. Jabari Parker, 19 and 9. Shot 9 of 12. Pretty bloody good. Fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world. 3 of 11 from the field for fighting Bobby Portis for 6 points. Trevor Ariza's veteran presence had 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting. And Thomas Satoransky went 1 of 8. Jesus. And they still managed to win. That's how bad Orlando are. Shason Randle turned into Julius Randle for a minute there. Yeah, 13 points. There you go. Orlando, they dropped to 31 and 39. And you're like, oh, yeah. Gee, maybe you shouldn't lose to the Washington Wizards there, Magic. So you're 31 and 38. You had a chance. A chance to win against the Wizards, a team below you in the standings today, and really keep the heat on the Heat. Way, watch out for that eighth and final playoff spot in the East. But instead, you shit the bed against the Wiz. Jesus. Gross. Washington, they move to, they're 29 and 39. So, nice one. Sure. Who knows what the fuck they're doing at the moment. They just popped themselves ahead of the Grizzlies in the tank race. Not great. Brooklyn went to OKC and actually were leading this pretty handily at the half. We're up by 10, then it was like up by 7, then it was up by nothing, and then OKC sort of just ran over the top of them. OKC ended up winning 108-96, and Hubie Brown on the national broadcast kept calling them New Jersey. If you needed any more proof that Hubie Brown was 85, there it is. For the Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie had 25 points, 5 assists. D'Angelo had 14 points on 18 shots. He suddenly turned back into the D'Angelo we all know and love. 2 of 8 from 3. My sweet baby carrots. Karis LeVert had 8, 6, and 4 from 3-10 shooting. And Joe Harris and his beard had 13 points. But Brooklyn just couldn't get much going. It's a bit of a rough one for them today. You know, this is, I think I mentioned this yesterday as well. The start of a pretty crucial roadie for the Nets. And they shot 41% from the floor. I know that the Thunder are pretty good defensively. But Jesus, that is brutal. The Thunder shot 12 more shots than the Nets. There was a 84-96 shot attempts, which is wild. And look, that was a combination of the Thunder out-rebounding them 51-43 and 16 turnovers, courtesy of the Nets. Bit of a rough one, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, for the Thunders, Rusty Westbrook had a huge one, 31-12-11. We'll talk about him later. Paul George at 25-9, 9 of 18 from the field, which is pretty good. You got to be feeling good. Like, Paul George has been shooting not great of late, so he had a nice comeback game. Steven Adams-Brew had 13-7. Jeremy Grant had 15-7. And Dennis Schröder, I'm German, Rondo, had 3 of 10 shooting for his 7 points. But the Thunder, no problems there. They just look really good. They just gave it the old flex. And there you go, mate. We gotcha. Brooklyn, they dropped to 36-34. But they hold on to the 6th spot in the East, thanks to the Detroit Pistons shitting the bed. And OKC, now 42-26, holding on to 3rd in the West, courtesy of a Houston loss today as well, which we'll get to. Memphis, they lost in Atlanta, 132-111. This was wild. This is the most points that Memphis, the NBA's sort of defensive scoring leader, i.e. we have the least amount of points scored on us because we muddy up the game fucking hardcore. Seven more points that they gave up, and even in an overtime game against the Nets back in November. It's 132. Jesus. For the Grizz, they're led by CJ Miles. He had 33 points, 8 of 12 from 3. The old give me a new contract in 2 years because I can still hit 3 CJ Miles game. Love it. Mike Conley had 20 points, 7 assists. Joakim Noah had 12 points, 8 rebounds and 5 assists, and was making weird faces, presumably at a lady courtside because he's a fucking weirdo creep. And my name is Jonas Valanciunas at 8 points and zeros elsewhere. This might pop up a little bit later. For the Hawks, John Collins at a tall cocktail had 27 points, 12 rebounds and 2 blocks. Springy. Trey Young had 22 points on 8 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. He was very good. He had 8 assists as well and 0 turnovers. A great comeback game for Trey Young. Kevin Huerta had 16, 5, and 4. The Ukrainian stepladder, Alex Len, had 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. The old, I also need to get paid next year realization game. Where he's like, oh, fuck, do I have a contract next year? Sorry, that's in Alex Len voice. Oh, shit. Does Ukrainian stepladder have a contract for next year? He's not so sure. Maybe play better basketball, Jess. Taurine the Red Bull Prince had 15, 3, and 3. While Baze Gaze put up a stinker. Oh, of 6 in 17 minutes. Not great, mate. Memphis, they are 28-41 and tanking nicely, but, you know, trying to sort of get rid of their pick and, I don't know, stick around. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Atlanta, happily in no man's land where no one can really catch them or fall to them in the tank race. They're 24-45. Nice. Speaking of tanking and not really meaning to, Detroit basketball got shit pumped by the Miami Heat today, 108-74. The wheels are off in Detroit. They scored 75 versus Brooklyn in their last game, and then they dropped 74 against Miami. Jesus. How's this, man? Miami starting 5, Richo Richardson, Justice Winslow, Deion Island, Waiters, and Bam Adebayo, Kelly Hoosier, Linick. They played 12 minutes together. 12 minutes. You're like, oh, that's not that much. In that 12 minutes, they shot 12 of 17, 4 from 4 on threes, and outscored Detroit 36-13. Jesus, Miami started the second half of this game on a 21-0 run. What the hell, Detroit? Jesus, they got out-rebounded 51-37. Fucking hell. They also shot 35%, the Pistons. Gross, Kobe. Blake, he shot 4 of 9 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. He had 13 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists in 30 minutes. That is not going to do it. 10 points for the Duckman, Luke Kennard, on 4 of 9 shooting. 11 for Wayne Ellington. Only 3 players to hit double figures for the Pistons. That is gross, man. Andre Drummond had 5 points, 9 rebounds, fouled out in the fourth quarter. Reg Jackson had 8 points on 3 of 15 shooting from the field. But I'll tell you what, Kung Fu Thon was pretty bloody good. 8 points. 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. Not bloody bad, mate. For the Heat, Justice Winslow had, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Richo had 13. Bam had 10 and 5. Deion Waiters Island had 14 points. Wingen Hassan had 13 points and 11 rebounds. Goran the Flog Dragic had 10 points, 4 assists. And D-Wade 11 points. So there you go. Heat, just all around scoring. 7 double figure scorers versus 3 on the Pistons. Gross. So Detroit, they dropped 34-33, a half game behind Brooklyn in 6-7 in the East, and Miami move up to 32-35, and they are 2 games ahead of Orlando for 8th. Nice. The big showdown, though, was Golden State at Houston, and what a game this was, 106-104, Golden State equaling out. Step backs everywhere, fast Jimmy Harden was doing everything, but Golden State, kind of just went, oh, wait, we've got no Kevin Durant. Yeah, it's actually okay. And Golden State avoid the season sweep without Kevin Durant. Harden missed the second free throw at the very end of this, where it could basically, they were down three. And he was fouled. 6 seconds left, missed the second free throw. Iguodala, who, you know, actually made the foul in the first place, sort of tapped the back, sprinted the court and retained the rebound and got it to Steph Curry, threw it up in the air, and Golden State held on, which is pretty wild because, like, it seemed like they were pretty in control there for a minute. And Houston, props to them. They came all the way back. It was pretty crazy, man. It was a fun-ass game as well, and you can sort of see, like, as soon as Eric Gordon starts hitting the odd shot here and there, Houston are real fucking dangerous. Anyway, what else? Who had the, what was the biggest lead there? It's pretty wild. Yeah, nice. Houston. Nah, it was Golden State. Nice. 14 was their biggest lead. And I was right there in the fourth as well. And Houston came all the way back. Yeah, that's pretty fucking good, man. Absolutely wild, actually. Yeah, it really looked like it was sort of out of their ranges too. But Houston kept coming. Anyway, fast Jimmy Harden at 29 points, 10 assists. CP3 had 24, 6, and 3. That's 3 assists for the point guard. Clint Capella had the nice symmetrical 13 and 13. That's rebounds and points. Eric Gordon had 17 points after a slow start. As mentioned, Gerald Geraldo Green had 9. Looked like he was on one, and then that sort of fell apart. PJ Tucker had 1 of 7 shooting for his 3 points. Rough one, but he's just a tough dude to move around and really gives the Warriors fits. The Manimal, Kenny Faried, answering the question, can you play him against the Warriors? It was a bit of a, I don't know, 13 minutes, 3 points, 3 rebounds. Just can't quite defend on the perimeter enough to stick on there for the Rockets. For the Warriors, Clay had 30. We'll talk about him a bit later, but Jesus, he was good. Steph had 24 points, 5 assists, and 8 of 20 shooting. Boogie was unreal. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and he was wildly entertaining all game. Draymond had a 2.5 rebound, 5 assist, 1 of 5 shooting outing. Not great, mate. Iggy started in place of KD, so it was like, what's a quasi-death, a coma lineup, I guess, if you got Boogie in there too. He might fall asleep on you, you never know. 3 points for Iggy, 1 of 4 shooting, all from 3. And the bench for the Warriors had 20 points total, but they hold on. And it's all okay in the end. So the Rockets are still in 4th in the West. They're 42 and 26, and the Warriors are 46 and 21. Nice. And then the final game for today, Utah beat Phoenix 114-97. Everyone expected this, and that's what happened. Booker had 27 points for the Suns, 6 assists as well. Cali Oubre Jr., 18 points. DeAndre Ayton had a rough one. It's like a little bit of a rookie wall, huh? We had Lucas shitting the bed the other day. We got DeAndre Ayton today, 2 points, 1 of 9 shooting. Brutal. Meanwhile, Trae Young hit his wall last week and has bounced back admirably. Tyler Johnson had 15 points. Josh Pacey Jackson had 9 points. And Rashawn Holmes had 11 and 5. For the Jazz, Donovan fucking Mitchell had 26 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 10 of 18 shooting. Not bloody bad, mate. Rudy Gobert, Zestafel Tower had 18 points, 20 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Jingling Joe Ingles at 15, 6, and 2. That's 6 assists. He crushed it. Derek Favors, though, 18, 7, and 7. 7 assists for Derek Favors. That is absolutely wild, mate. You wouldn't bloody read about it. It's probably because no one would ever fucking write about it, but, you know, still, point remains. That's a lot. Let's check to see if that was a career high. It's going to be close. How many do you reckon he's ever had? I'm going to say that's, like, very close. Yep, 7. There you go. Nailed it. Ha ha. Jay Crowder had 12 points. Cool. 12 shots. Classic Jay Crowder. Phoenix, they are now 16 and 53. And the Jazz. The Yaz? Is it a soft J? 38 and 29, 7th in the West. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night, though.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That was a knife, Rusty Westbrook. Holy shit. Brooklyn were really threatening. Paul George was looking a little bit threatening as well. He's kind of like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to take over. Rusty went, all right, fuck it, I'll do it. Days after being abused by a Jazz fan, all that shit, Rusty came out flaming. It was unreal. 31 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 26 triple-double for the year, 130th for his career. And looks like his shooting has sort of actually sort of stood up a little bit better over the last sort of couple of weeks. Maybe he's out of the slump. Maybe just going through a nice purple patch. But Look, he went 12 of 23 in this game, 4 of 8 from 3. And over his last 10 games, he's actually shooting almost 50% from the field and he's actually at 39% from 3.
So don't look now, but Rusty might be good at shooting again.
Nice one. Old mate, no mates.
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 Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? can I say Kevin Durant? Because, man, we're going to talk about this later, but it was fun to watch the Warriors without it. Just saying. And everyone's kind of like, ooh,
are they going to be okay when he goes?
They still beat Houston. Just saying. What about Spud of the Night?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. There's a couple of, basically attendees to the Spud of the Night dinner. Eric Gordon, as mentioned, and T-Ross, 4 of 13 for Gordo, T-Ross, 3 of 13, 0 of 6 from 3 as well, and the Magic shit the bed against the Wiz. I also mentioned my name is Jonas Valanciunas. 8 points. You're like, oh, that's pretty good. But zeros elsewhere. That's right, zeros. How do you not get one rebound in 20 minutes of NBA action when you're 7 fucking feet tall, Jonas Valanciunas? Jesus. That is the Lithuanian spud right there. But the actual spud tonight just goes to the entire Pistons team. After shooting 28% against Brooklyn the entire game, and scoring 75, they shot 35% tonight and scored 74. Jesus, they went 8 of 37 from 3 and 1 for 17 from 3 in the second half alone. That's a lot of spuds. That's throwing more fucking spuds than Danny Ferrulli. Jesus Christ. Panting of the night, that also goes to the Pistons in the third quarter. They were held to 8 points. 8 points for an entire NBA quarter. 8 American points. There's been 4 times this year where a team has held another team to 8 points or less in a quarter. 3 of them have been done by Miami. They've held basically opponents to 8 or less points. Houston held Chicago to 7 in the third quarter back in November. The rest of them are the Heat doing that and just bodying people. They did to the Clippers December 8. They did it to the Bucks December 22. And they did it to the Pistons today. Can anyone say South Beach hangover games? Don't tell me that going out of Miami doesn't affect you sometimes when you score 8 points in a third, in a quarter. Jesus. All right, finally, better than Lonzo Ball for today.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
That's right. We're coming for everybody, especially hurt Lonzo Ball, apparently. Jesus. Trae Young, as mentioned, was very good today, though. 22 points, 8 assists, 0 turnovers. But today is better than young Lonzo Ball. How about Thomas Kobe Bryant for the Wizards? He was unreal. 21 points, 9 of 12 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3 for the big man, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks as the Wiz beat the Magic. That was wild from the 42nd pick in that Lonzo draft 2 years ago. Thomas Kobe Bryant, turns out, better than Lonzo Ball, at least for today. Nice. All right, let's go to Nas right after these words.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stream, eh? Cheer, Brew!
All right, we're back. It's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, should Klay Thompson have to apologize for being a dickhead and blaming the fans for their loss to Phoenix the other day? Fuck yes! Of course he should, I mentioned this earlier, but anytime an athlete blames the fans for not G'ing them up sufficiently is completely beyond fucked. You're being paid millions of dollars, Clay. Don't blame the fans for not standing up if you don't have any fucking energy. Jesus. Also, to be fair, everyone goes on about Warriors fans, and it's like, yeah, they're now Warrior fans who are a bit, rich fuckwitty. So they'll be dominating that lower bowl. And of course, like, if they're shitty fans, they're shitty fans. But still, you can't go out there and fucking blame them. God damn. Right. How's this one, though? There's a fella out there on pace to become the first player ever to average 20-10-3 with a 60% two shooting percentage and a 40% rate from three. That's right. He's averaging 24.6 points a game, 12.2 rebounds a game, and 3.2 assists a game with a true shooting percentage of 62.9% and 40% from three. Hey, are we underrating Big Cat Karl Anthony Towns? Maybe a little. But at the same time, I don't know, man. Take your fucking team to the playoffs, Cat.
Oh, but Jimmy Butler was mean to me, bro. He was, like, really mean and he didn't want to be on our team anymore.
How about you fucking grow a pair and take your fucking team to the playoffs, Karl Anthony Towns? Play some fucking defense, mate. Nice. Next one. The Rockets picked up their option on the final season of D'Antoni's contract, keeping him under contract through the 19-20 season. But Daryl Morey said he would like to work on an extension for D'Antoni in the offseason. Begging the question, would you extend Mike D'Antoni? Whoa. I'd also do the smart thing that Daryl Morey is clearly doing and wait until the offseason just to see what goes down this playoffs and how James Harden feels about it and how he fares as well. That's pretty good. Like, I love D'Antoni. I think he's a really fun coach if you let him do his thing. And Houston improving that if you let him do his thing, it's a good fucking team. So, I'd wait till the offseason. That's what Morey's doing. Morey's smart. And finally, did Kobe arrange to have his own jersey stolen from his Philadelphia high school and move to China to stay in the news? come on. Chinese fan Port purchased Kobe's high school jersey for $2,000, eventually realized it was stolen, returned it for free. Oh, isn't that nice? That popped up today. That was a good one. Time for the unpopular opinion of the day, however.
Now look at me, please.
Look at me. I love him, but Hubie Brown and Marv Albert might be getting a little bit old for the old day-in, day-out rigors of commentary. Oh, it's a rough one. Marv is 78. Hubie's 85. It's getting to the point where they're making weird basic mistakes like calling Miles Turner Elston Turner. Or on a national broadcast, being an 85-year-old, he keeps calling the Brooklyn Nets, who have been in Brooklyn for over 7 years, the New Jersey Nets. It's a bit of a rough one. Come on, man. It's a national broadcast. You got dudes in their fucking 70s and 80s on this joint. Jesus, maybe... what the fuck are we doing? Can we get more Doris Burks in there? She's unreal. Meanwhile, you got Hubie going, and you gotta like him because he shoots 33% from downtown and he shoots a really good rate from the free throw line and he averages over 19 points a game. And like, Hubie, we get that numbers are a thing. But Jesus Christ, mate. The New Jersey Nets? You're killing me. Can we get at least like halve their games maybe and like give them to like some smarter like Sarah Kustok kind of lady peoples? Jesus, just saying. At least they teach us something. Fuck. Anyway, whatever. Thursday, come on in to Outback. You know what Thursday means at Outback? 4-for-1. Blooming onions. That's right. No bugger knows what the fuck these are back in Australia. They taste like shit, I assume. But no one's ever had one, so what are you going to do? 4-for-1 at Outback Takehouse today. And they go great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grill take is the Golden State Warriors are way more fun to watch without Kevin the Coward Snake Durant playing for them and would probably still win the NBA title without him. And you know that they want to do that next year and they'll be happy to see him go. Only at Outback. That's not even that much of a flame grill take. It's just my opinion. They were like really fun. Just watching them sort of like, it sort of brings them a hint back towards the pack. And they're really fun to watch a lot of the times. So that was awesome. Need more worries about Kevin. Kevin, go to New York. No one fucking cares, mate. Go whinge to the fucking New York media. See how much they care. Just saying. All right, we'll be back with the Stream Play Watch right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. Jingling Joe Ingles today against the Phoenix Suns. As mentioned, absolutely smashed it once more. Really on a bit of a tear with his old assist numbers. Anyway, Jingles, 15 points, 6 assists, 2 rebounds. Shot 6 of 9. Nice. From the field, 3 of 5 from 3. To go 2 steals and a block. Filled it up. Dante Kangaroo Kobe Exum, he played 9 minutes against the Suns. He went 0 of 2 from the field, including 0 of 1 from 3. He has another 0-point outing to go 2 rebounds and 2 turnovers. That means Dante has not hit a shot since he came back in 2 games. It is pretty rough. He's 0 of 7 so far and 0 points. So his most improved player is taking a little bit of a beating, but anyway, tough campaign anyway. As mentioned, Thon Song, in the loss to the Heat, he had 8 points. He shot 0 of 1 from 3, but 3 of 7 from the field. 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, absolutely crushed it. And that was all of the Aussies in action today. There was no Bangers, no Rowdy, no Patty Thrills, no King Daly, no Dang Adele, no Simo, no Jonah. So pretty bloody good. So let's go to Kiwi Corner and check out Steve Nonis Boo. See how a big Kiwi Colossus mate's going, our Antipodean buddy. In the loss to the Clippers last week, he had 6 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 assists and fouled out, which was some bullshit in that game. If you remember, that's what Paul George was complaining about. But then they went on to beat Utah, and he had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 2 steals. And then in the win today over Brooklyn, Steven Adams, had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, and 2 steals. Absolutely crushing it. So for the year, he's at 14.4 points, 9.7 rebounds, 1.6 assists, 0.8 of a block, 1.6 steals, and shooting over 60% from the field. That is absolutely wild. Great stuff, Kiwi Colossus. And you know what that means. And what else do we do on Thursdays? Oh, it's time for a Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'em Up Award.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I am healed. Because it is the Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'em Up Award. And this one goes to Klay Thompson. Yes, when he wasn't berating Warriors fans for apparently somehow causing that loss to Phoenix. He was shooting the fucking lights out. Klay, what a week he's had. Chucked in 39 against Denver. Shot 13 of 22, including 9 of 11 from 3. Jesus, that is absolutely wild. Maybe Klay did 9-11. He had 28 versus Phoenix in that shit game. Still shot 10 of 22 and 4 of 15 from 3. But then had a massive one today against Houston as well. 30 points, 12 of 23 from the field, and 5 of 10 from 3. Leaving him shooting 52% from the field for the week and 50% from 3. That is absolutely nuts. Unreal. So good job, Klay Thompson. You are our Shane Hill Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot Light 'em Up Award for shooting your shot. Shooting your shot, shooting shoots, and lighting them up. That's great stuff. All right, we'll be back with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews right after, let's say, these.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
Right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in slash inspiration board. And this one actually comes from Joe Ingles. He tweeted out, "We are trekking Kokoda to fundraise for ASD Kids Charity. There are still spots left to come along, but if trekking isn't your thing, then please support our charity and families with children on the spectrum. Every little bit counts. Thank you in advance." And then he tweets out the link. And we're going to give it here as well because it's, what is it? Just basically the number four. So number four, asdkids.gofundraise.com.au. And it's basically go to that, find the Ingles Trek Kokoda, go and, donate, chuck some money at him. Shit, if you want to go trekking with Jingler, bloody well do it. It's for a great cause. That's some awesome, inspiring stuff on you, Joe Ingles. Good stuff all around. All right, let's do it. Some game previews for tomorrow, Friday.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How was today's games?
I mean, that was pretty fine. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, cool. Are there any good ones tomorrow?
Yeah, there actually is. There's some fun ones.
Well, hurry up and get to them.
I mean, I'm fucking trying, mate. All right. So what do we got? Let's have a look at the odds and everything for tomorrow's games. Still frothing about the fucking Marv Albert, Hubie Brown thing. It just feels weird to me. Anyway, OKC, after beating the Nets today, the New Jersey Nets, if you're Hubie Brown, travel to Indy to play the Pacers. And the Pacers are, crazily enough, 1-point favorites at home. And they are up and down, the old Pacers. And this does feel like the sort of game, especially in a back-to-back, a tough one against the Nets. Traveling, going to Indiana. That the Thunder sort of slip up. But you know what? Fuck it. I'm going the Thunder anyway. Plus one, give me the Thunder. I reckon they start flexing a little bit here and really sort of, you know, just bear down a little bit and sort of lock in. Take some steps up that Western Conference table. Now, what else we got? Cavs, they travel to Orlando to play the Magic. The Magic, 8-point favorites at home, which seems like a lot, doesn't it? The Magic, after shitting the bed against the Wizards, they're traveling as well. The Cavs are rested. They're kind of a little bit punchy here and there, the old Cavs. So, 8 points. I think I'll take the Cavs again. They haven't steered me wrong the last couple of times. They just keep covering. They keep losing, but they keep covering. So, give me the Cavs plus 8 to cover against the Magic. The Kings, they travel to Boston to take on the Celtics. The Celtics are 7.5-point favorites against the Kings. And I think I might even take the Celtics in this one. The Kings have sort of just given up the ghost, just that hint, since they traded away. Weirdly enough, like Iman Shumpert, they've been on a bit of a slide. They've lost 7 of their last 10. And Boston, back at home after their much vaunted road trip. I think the Celtics will come together for this one. And I reckon they'll win by a handy amount. So give me Boston minus 7.5. The Lakers travel to Toronto to take on the Raps. The Raps are 10-point favorites at home. And I will take the Raptors. I think they shit pound the Lakers. The Lakers barely eked out a win against the Bulls the other day without the Bulls' best player. The Raptors should be at full strength and should kick the shit out of them. It's just makes sense. And they should beat them by more than 10 points. So give me the Raptors minus 10. The Wolves, they travel to Utah to play the Jazz. The Jazz are 10-point favorites. I'm not entirely convinced about that one. The Jazz on a back-to-back after playing Phoenix today. I'll take the Wolves plus 10. The Wolves aren't that great. Maybe they get a couple of their dudes back. They were playing without Wigo, Covington, and D-Rose the other day. If they get a couple of them back, I reckon they'll cover plus 10. If it's just Karl Anthony Towns by himself, maybe give me the Jazz minus 10. But I'll go with the Wolves, presuming that a couple of their dudes come back. Give me the Wolves plus 10. And then finally, Dallas travel to Denver to take on the Nuggets. And the Nuggets are 11-point favorites in Denver. And this screams at me as a Denver cover because they pumped the shit out of the Mavericks by like 30 points. And the Nuggets easily cover. So give me the Nuggets minus 11 tomorrow. So there you go. Thunder, Cavs, Boston, Toronto, Wolves, and Nuggets for tomorrow. And we'll wrap up all those games tomorrow. Nice. We're also going to have a with our old mucker, Lakers fan Tim. That's right. Our old mucker from the Drong Guys days. Should be great fun. So we'll speak to him. We'll do with Timmy tomorrow. And then we'll wrap all the games and everything. That'll be fun as hell. So stick around for a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams at the end of this one. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever Android thing you're listening to NBA Australia with. Check us a follow on Spotify. Check it out on Stitcher. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out House Hats, their new band. They are launching their album April 12 at the Old Bar in Melbourne. I will be there at that launch. It will be awesome. Might even ask if I can DJ. I haven't told them that yet, but I'm going to ask. March 29, their album comes out. House Hats are amazing. I've been broken plays behind Yeah Nah every day. And you need a band now that you can't listen to Smith Street Band, so House Hats are it. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army. They play the Dan O'Connell Hotel in Melbourne this week for St. Paddy's Day. They are Australia's best Celtic punk band. Get the fuck around Ramshackle Army. They're awesome. Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. If you're in a band, if your mates are in a band, send us it and we'll play it. Let's do it. All right, as mentioned, new Diary of Stephen Adams to finish up today, and we will be back tomorrow with Timmy from Geelong, guys. Lakers fan Tim. Oh, we're going to hear from an actual real-life Lakers fan. This should be fun. And we'll catch you tomorrow then, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying... Later, hose.
Kia ora, Brews. It's Stephen Adams here, eh, Brew? Just popping by for my usual diary entry, eh? So, here goes. Oh, dear diary. That's me, Stephen Adams, eh? But, you knew that already, eh? Because you're my diary, aren't you, Brew? So, not much to report this week, eh? No, not much at all, Brew. So, just saying, I made my winning hungy for the boys, and, they loved it, Brew. And lo and behold, we went and won some games, eh? I brought it to the clubhouse, Brew, and everyone's like, oh, sweet as, Stephen has brought us a hungy, Brew. And then they all piled into it, quick smart, eh? It was like Nick Cage, Brew, gone in 60 seconds, Brew. So they all polished off my hungy, and then they got stuck into my Lamingtons and my Pavlova, Brew. So to be honest, I was a bit surprised as anyone as that we could actually move and that we actually beat the Jizz in Utah, eh? So the best part was when that little Russell fella started yelling at that other fella in the crowd, Brew, I reckon he had that hungy power in him, eh? I've seen like my brother and my other brother and my dad and my uncles and my cousins all do the same thing after they've had a hungy, Brew. So I just wish I was there, Brew. I would have knocked that fella's bloody block off like I was bloody Jonah Lomu, eh, Brew? So fortunately for that fella, I was in the game at the time, man. So he avoided being dismembered, eh? Luckily for him. Because no one talks shit about little Russ when I'm around, eh? Just saying, so... In fact, I got a text message from my cousin Rongo, Brew, which was a bit of a surprise, Brew, because he's in prison. But he was all like, oh, Stephen, Brew, do you need me and a couple of cousins to get into this fella, eh? And I was like, who is this? And he's like, oh, Brew, it's your cousin Rongo, eh? And I had to say, oh, Rongo, Brew, it's okay, Brew, I'll sort it out, eh? He's a mad one, that Rongo. I mean, he's in prison. What's he going to do, Brew? So, with all that brouhaha, Brew, it's a bit of a busy week, eh? But it was a fun one, and hopefully that hungy keeps everyone winning for a few days yet, eh? So hopefully we keep winning this week and keep on kicking ass and taking names, eh? It's pretty fun. So that's it for this week, Brew. I'll write to you again next week, Diary. Okay, cheer, cheer. Love, Stephen Adams, Brew.